Blog Talk Radio.
Well, good evening and welcome to Cowboy Wisdom NLY Radio. And tonight, Amy Ligner is my guest with The Right Companion, author of the Angel Chronicles, and she's got a new book out called The Gilded Wings. But before we introduce Amy, I would really like to send thoughts and prayers to the East Coast, because and some Reiki energy and some positive thoughts, because them people have endured a life expanding experience, really, but it's in the form of a tragedy. And I just want them people to know that the rest of the country sends them love and a healing and enterprising energy to expand their lives and back into as normal as it'll ever get or into prosperity. Anyway, and without any further ado, I want to welcome a very wise editor, ghostwriter, author, and a very beautiful lady. Amy Ligner, welcome to the show.
Thank you, Robert. I really appreciate it. I'm so happy to be here again. And I want to add in my prayers and my thoughts. My family and friends are up in Connecticut and in New York. And I'm thinking about you. And all I can say is that I'm glad you made it through. And I just hope that everything, I don't know, gets back to the way it's supposed to be. But I'm praying for you, and I think about you all the time.
And anyway, tonight we're going to open the show, and we're going to talk about a brand new book that Amy's got out. It's called Gilded Wings with the Angel Chronicles.
Yes, sir. Book two.
All right, book two. Tell us about Gilded Wings.
Well, anybody who's read Until Next Time, and if you haven't, go right back there and read it. Emily and Matthew are an angel warrior team. And the upside is they went in a different direction than most of the books out there, which I'm very excited about. They're not demons and they're not vampires or werewolves, but they are a team that really has everything from romance to adventure, excitement. You get a little bit of everything with Emily and Matthew. And with Gilded Wings, it's great because it's set in a time period that I absolutely was thrilled to research and has appeared in other books. And it was the Gilded Age in New York City. And that is where Emily and Matthew begin this time around. And the story there, all of the people that you met in Until Next Time, especially the ones that are part of that romantic entanglement that everybody got so excited about, you're not going to believe it this time around, because these characters are doing absolutely the opposite of what you probably thought they were going to do. So I'm very, very excited about it. And I received my very first review for the book this morning from a magazine, and I almost fell off my chair. It was so amazing, and I was just absolutely thrilled with how much this Angel Warrior team has sparked interest. So I'm very grateful for it, and I was really, really, really thrilled.
And you can go to therightcompanion.com and look down the page where it says http://the-angel-chronicles.blogspot.com, or just go to The Right Companion. That's THEWRITE companion.com. It's like the word right.
Exactly. And the Angel Chronicles blogspot.com, that particular one, has the entire blog tour. It's going to be going on for 3 months, started today, and the end will come on January 31st. And it's just great because we're doing all of these giveaways, posters and T-shirts. You can have the Angel Warrior and your Amazon gift cards and all kinds of stuff. And each new day, there is going to be excerpts from the book. So you can get into it little by little and see exactly what's going on in that thing. So you can download it on Kindle or Nook or anywhere you'd like to and really get into the story. We had three go up this morning, and I've posted them everywhere on Facebook. You can go and Twitter, you can go at Hello Writers Me, and you'll hear all about what Matthew has to say, and even an excerpt on what a director and a producer thought Emily and Matthew could be Marvel characters. So that's kind of an interesting thing to read about as well. So Matthew and Emily are going to be all across the map for the next 3 months. So it's very exciting.
And Amy, one thing about the Gilded Wings and the Gilded Age in New York City, tell people a little bit about that.
Well, I was very into that particular time period. I have a suspense adventure series that has just been picked up by Suspense Publishing, and it begins December 1st with the first title being 13. And I got very much into that time period and researching it. And the Gilded Age, you really have to look at it as the time when America was really, really starting to be built through business and industry. I mean, that's the era that gave you Carnegie and J.P. Morgan and all the big guys, and Vanderbilt, Rockefeller, et cetera. And New York City was really coming into its own. It was becoming the best of the best. And I actually like the fact that I used that particular time period years ago when I wrote the book, especially now, because of what's happened. I really would like everybody to see how great New York City was, is, and how it was formed and built and all these great minds behind it. And, of course, you also get looks into everything from Ellis Island, because Emily is an immigrant when she comes to New York City in this book. And you really get all different factions of, like, the rich against the poor, how various lives were led, all different kinds of things. And even, you know, you even get to see Houdini's special show when he had Jenny the Elephant, which became a historical moment. And that's in the book as well. So all of these really great historical moments are there, and buildings and, you know, parties and all kinds of things that we've all heard about and learned about in school. And Emily and Matthew get to be a part of them. And their story kind of interweaves through everything that New York City was and is. So it's very interesting. And that's what I like, not only the fictional tale, and it's not only the love triangle and everything that everybody was expecting, but it's also a very cool historical ride. So I was very excited to choose that particular time.
Are you there, Amy?
Yes, sir.
All right, we're back on the air, and here we go some more.
Dallas technology, huh?
Yeah, we must have really heated up the line, Skype said. I guess I said something about but how that age really plays today yet.
Oh, yes. Oh, yes. You know, I'm from Connecticut, and my father was a caretaker in a very small town. So we were actually type of rich versus poor up there, and how people lived. And it was a very interesting place to live. And it actually helped with the Gilded Age, because there's a lot of aspects of what happened back then, and how certain people were overlooked, how certain people were lost, how the rich industrialists kind of took over everything and created the world. And so it's very interesting for Emily and Matthew to be in that particular time period. And I think readers will really get a kick out of the fact that it's not only fiction and fun and dramatic, but it's also a very real part of history.
It really is. And, you know, it's not only history. That era still plays out today in a bigger way. Now that I really start opening my eyes, that era still plays out today in a lot of ways in the financial world.
Well, let's be honest, it always will. you know, you're never going to, I mean, I don't want to get into politics, certainly now when everyone's going to vote next week, but you're always going to have that line that comes between money and non-money. And the really great part about the Gilded Age is, of course, still what goes on today. People were so hardworking, and they came here. You know, they came here to these shores, so did my descendants, to Ellis Island, and they worked so hard to give their families a better life. So when Emily and Matthew are part of this and they see all of this, it's very interesting to see how they react to everything and how they are taken into the world. Some people change, and some of the characters the last time around, you'll see a whole different side of them. So I think that's what's interesting. It's not going to be this, you know, romance novel. It's going to be something far more. And I think everybody is going to be able to it. Young adults, adults, and in anywhere you live, it doesn't matter what state you live in, you're really going to understand the various things that Emily and Matthew have to face.
You know, and you know, sometimes even writing in a fictional book really mirrors today and other people's lives, probably even your own. So sometimes a fiction may be more truthful than an autobiography. What do you think in a similar way?
Well, I think with all my books, I come from a research librarian. My mother was a librarian in Sharon for, God, her whole life practically. And I'm very into research, and I'm very, very into history. So even this series that I'm doing, that's an adventure series that begins in December, I always picked various time periods and how to link them all together. And you have to use reality as well. I mean, you can put very real characters in a very real place that's still on the face of this earth and use legends and myths, et cetera, and things that really happen there. You know, life changes and we've grown and various things have happened, but the fundamentals of who we are the same. You know, I mean, we all want something. We all want to do good work. We all want to do good for someone else, and we all want to help people. It just depends on what particular situation you are in life as to what you can do for others. So Emily and Matthew really show that, and they really prove that. And they, you know, they go from every street in New York City, in the Gilded Age. They go from the poor, they go to the rich. You know, they can be on the block with the Vanderbilts, and then they can, the next time, they can be on the block that has Potter's Field, which is where they used to bury people, and, you know, with no name. So it's a very intricate story, but it gives you all that adventure, and it gives you all that emotion that the first one gave you. And even more, actually, that review that I just received today, I was just so floored by it, because a lot of times, let's be honest, very rarely when it comes to books and movies do you say a sequel is better than the first one. And this, they raved about this book. They said the first one they loved, but this one they wanted to read again and again. So that really, you know, does the heart good as a writer to hear something like that. So they really like where Emily and Matthew have gone. And then, of course, when it ends, when everything ends in the third book, they're going to be right here and in our time period, and it's going to be a whole new adventure that you wouldn't have expected. So that's the fun part about the whole thing.
And also, Amy, just between you and me and the listeners, do you feel these have a chance to be made into movies?
Well, I'm not sure how to answer that. I'm not supposed to say anything. There are feelers out, and I've been contacted, so we'll see. I would love to see Emily and Matthew up there. I think they're great. I think they're fun, and I think they're really different than all the other things that are out there. You know, like I said, these are not fallen angels. There are no demons after them. They're here to do a job, and they're here to look around, and they really see what's going on. And it's fun. It actually draws people in, and they want to have an adventure with Emily and Matthew. So it would be interesting to see them up on the screen.
I'm going to ask you a hypothetical question. Who would play Matthew, who would play the young lady?
Okay, well, I'm not going to do the big names here. You know why? Because one of the best movie series that was ever made from a young adult book was Harry Potter. And the top three characters were absolute unknowns. And I would like Emily and Matthew to be absolute unknowns. But when you get to the big guns, you know, like Mike and Gabe there, I would definitely like to see Kiefer Sutherland play Mike and maybe a Johnny Depp type play Gabe. So you'd have some big names in there, but I think Emily and Matthew would have to be unknowns, because that way there would be no judging ahead of time. It would just be almost like Emily and Matthew would come to life because you've never seen him before.
Okay, now what is the favorite of all the places, the history you did for the book, what was the one that stood out to you the most?
Oh, gosh. I have to say I love Ellis Island. I love standing there. I love the characters that we meet there. And I love when they are together. Emily and Matthew are together, and they go to Potter's Field. And a historical moment happens there, which is very touching, and it changes the course of the book. And it is really the pinpoint that readers will go, oh, my God, really? So that was a very interesting moment in history. And I have to say, come on, if we could all go back, it would be so much fun to be sitting in that audience and have Harry Houdini come out on a stage and make an actual elephant disappear. And that really happened, and that would have been a very cool thing to be in that audience. So there's a lot of areas that I would love to see, but Potter's Field and that moment in history that actually happened was very emotional to write, and it was adventurous to write, and I hope that the crowd that reads it will really like that.
And you can get the ebook links at Kindle, Nook, iBookstore, Google, Smashwords, and PDF. And you go to the writecompanion.com, go down to see where you see Angel Chronicles Blogspot. Click on that link, and you go right there, and you can go right to the page.
That's right. The Angel Chronicles Blogspot.com has it all. All the giveaways, all the links, all the excerpts, synopsis, everything. So if you want anything, that's the place to go.
And also, you can buy up until next time also.
Oh, yes. Matthew and Emily are side by side. And the fun part is we're working on the cover for the third one, because everybody's already asking who she ends up with and what if Team Jason or Team Matthew and what's going to happen with Gabe and Mike. And it's going to be interesting to put that one together. So I'm excited about working on that as well.
And also, come in December, Talent Lowry 13 will be released by Suspense Publishing. Is that true?
Suspense Publishing in Los Angeles has picked up a series of 7 books. And it is called Talent and Lowry. That's the last names of the two characters. And you really have to think of it as Indiana Jones meets the Da Vinci Code. And it is, it starts at the New York Public Library. It is about a research librarian, which is a whole lot of fun. And you will not believe the places that these guys are going to go. So it's fun. It's like linking a puzzle together. In the first book, I was able to link the Winchester House, which is near San Francisco. And you can look that up on Google. It's a ghost house. And I was able to link it with the old legend of Jack the Ripper and the old legend of Glastonbury, which is where everybody thought King Arthur was at one time. And it's going to be interesting. It's going to be a lot of fun.
They sound very interesting. And also, Amy, and the people are looking for an editor, ghostwriter. Amy's also available, and book reviewer. Amy's very excellent at editing books. And also, Amy, tell them how a ghostwriter really can enhance their writing and how you enhance people's books or work with the author to bring more out with them when you're a ghostwriter.
Well, I have to say I love working with authors. We've had a lot of success stories between myself and some authors out there, and there's, you know, it's very, some people have a real talent at being able to know the fundamentals of writing. As far as, you know, I can get a manuscript that has perfect grammar, perfect spelling, perfect everything, and they know what they want to say. But sometimes the emotion is not there. Then on the other hand, you'll have writers who have so much emotion and they have so much to say, but they can't seem to you know, put it all into the right format and make it easy for people to read and easy for them to understand. So working with an author and being able to help them with their editing or their ghostwriting process, it just means that you can really enhance the book so that the readers out there will understand every word that you're saying. They'll really be able to follow the plot. And it's just a lot of fun. It's a very good interaction. And you always want to make sure, and I always say this to people out there, not because you have to pick me, but whoever you pick as an editor, and everybody should have one, by the way, because none of us can do it right the first time, believe me. Always pick someone you can work really, really well with and who understands exactly what you're trying to put across. They want to help you. They have the same passion for your subject that you do. And make sure you have that very good relationship, because if you get an editor who's just, I mean, let's be honest, just in it for the money and here you go, your manuscript is cleaned up, have a nice day, it's not the same thing. You really want someone who will help you and be able to promote you and to be able to get that book that's in your head on paper and get it published. So make sure that you really, really research and get the one you really, really can work with, because that's important for your book.
And that is. Now, you said something in there, Amy. You said about emotion and being perfectly written and deal without emotion. What would you say is the most enhancing energy that people have? Is it emotion or the talent to make it perfect?
Oh, no. Passion. Emotion. You can, if you are the perfect speller and you're perfect grammatically and you're perfect at characters, that's great. It really is. But if there is no passion and there's no emotion, if you hit a dramatic moment but you can't make somebody cry from it, if you hit a hysterical moment but nobody laughs, if you hit a passionate moment but nobody really cares about the couple, it just doesn't work. So without that emotion, you can't bring the reader on for the ride. You can't get them excited or interested. I mean, let's face it, you want a book that you pick up and you don't want to put it down. You even want to call in work sick. You want to call into school sick. You want to stay and you want to read that book cover to cover because you're so attached to these people in that book. And you really are on a thrill ride. So the emotion and the passion is something that has to be there. Anybody can clean up spelling. You know, all of us misspell our, you know, certain words. Anybody can clean up grammar, but you've got to have that emotion for your own story. Because if you don't like your own story or you're not into your own story, that translates onto the page and the reader won't be into it either. So you really do have to have that emotion for your subject.
And you can go to thewritecompanion.com and get all of Amy's talent. But Amy, as an editor, ghostwriter, book reviewer, author, buyer books, it's all right there for you. But how do you think, Amy, people use books to escape their challenges and enjoy some free time?
Oh, God, it's nice. It really is. Come on. I'm talking to you as a girl who's had one horrible October that started with a car accident. So thankfully everybody was fine and it wasn't that big of a deal except for the car. And, but to be able to sit in a room, whether or not I'm sitting there reading a book because somebody has begged me for a review or I'm working with somebody on their manuscript, or I just got the latest book from the library because it's something I had to have, or I'm in my own book and I'm writing and all of that. I mean, it takes you out of the world for a while. You know, you can forget your problems, you can forget your worries, or at least set them to the side, and you can go on an adventure. You know, if you like romance, you can fall in love. If you like science fiction, you know, you can go back to the time where Star Wars was, you know, the thing that took you away when you were sitting in school and you were bored. So to be able to relax and to have a good time and to just be calm for a little while. Books are, there is nothing like a book. I mean, the perfect book that you love can make your whole week better, and we all know that. whether I know some people like TV, some people love movies. I'm a movie fanatic. But when I get a box of books that somebody wants me to review, I lose myself. You pick up these titles, and some of these authors are so amazing that you really lose yourself. And then you can, you know, have great discussions with your friends and your family and talk all about these books and you know, let others have a good day by reading them. So I'm telling you, you know, I'm obsessed, as you can tell, but a good book is just perfect. And God knows, when you've had a bad time and you need something to just get away from it all, a book is a very cheap, economical, and wonderful way to do it. So I hope that no libraries close down, and I hope that writers keep right on writing, and we keep, you know, trying to find the next Jane Austen, et cetera, because it's perfect. It makes you feel better.
And here's something, Amy. You know, as far as manufacturing and all this, but how do you feel? This is something I really am starting to really engage in. It's the artistic talents of people that are going to bring us back into wealth and prosperity. How do you feel about that?
Well, you know, I mean, this is kind of like science versus religion versus art, but I really feel that creative processes help. I mean, whether you're talking about architecture and designing a new city, or you're talking about books or movies, or just showing people, you know, pulling people in so that they can enjoy something, I really do feel that the creative and the design faction of this world, the artistic faction of this world, has to be the largest part of the world. And I'm not saying forget jobs and forget that. Everybody has the 9-to-5s. Everybody has money issues. Everybody's raising their kids, et cetera. But if everything is just money or just financial or just industrial, it would be a very kind of gray world in my mind. You know, you have got to have that artistic pull, whether it be dancing, reading, designing, anything you can think of, even planting the best garden in the world and showing it to your friends if that's your hobby. You have to have that because it releases all these emotions that get so pent up from everyday life. And I really think it puts the world in color. And you need the world in color. Black and white just gets boring, you know? So I hope everyone still, even when you've had the worst day or the worst week ever, just make sure that you look at something creative, be creative. And I think the world becomes a better place, not to sound like a Hallmark card.
You know, from about the 70s until the early 2000s, I think we was a black and white world.
Well, I think a variety of years might have been black and white. But, there was always someone with music, whatever it happened to be, who was reaching out and trying to make the world a better place. And I think we still have them, and I hope that it continues to grow.
Me too. Amy, we're down to the last few seconds of the show, and it's therightcompanion.com. Gilded Wings is a book, and The Angel Chronicles with also Up Until Next Time, and Talent Lowry 13, December 1st, 2012.
Yes,
and
sir.
Amy, give them some wisdom, and I'll close out the show.
Wisdom, okay. Go read the book, guys. Gilded Wings is a great book. Until Next Time was a good one. This is a great one, and I hope you enjoy the series, and there's more to come, and I hope that publishers will keep giving me a shot because I love doing this, and I love your comments, and I hope you enjoy it all.
And I'm Rob Wilson with Cowboy Wisdom NLI Radio, and we'll see you Tuesday with Marie Weichel and Spreading Joy. And Amy, thank you, and thank all the listeners. Until next time. And I will call you in just a second, Amy.
Okay.